Blog Talk Radio.
To God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Word of Faith Praise and Worship Center. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. And yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. Why don't you put your hands together and come on and bless the Lord God Almighty, the Lord mighty and battle, the Lord that has made the heaven and the earth, the Lord that has created us in his image and his likeness, God of Abraham, the Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Yes, we will praise the name of the Lord. Why don't you get your Bibles and why don't you just hold them up in the air at this time? And why don't you repeat with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. And that is our confession today. This is our confession for the rest of our life. We want to let you know that we must believe the word of God and know that what God has given to us, it is for our life. It's a life must in our life. It's something that we must have in order to operate from day to day, from minute to minute, and hour to hour. While we're getting ready, why don't you take your Bible again, and we're going to also read the 122nd Psalm. And it reads, we will read together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within the gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they shall prosper that love thee. Peace within thy walls and prosperity within thy palace. For my brother and companion's sake, I will now say, peace be within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. We thank God today, praise God, that we can come before our God and we can know today and to be able to say that we are glad when we have the privilege and the honor to come into the house of the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but it is a blessing, it is a privilege to come before and come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're getting ready to go to the Most High God, before the Most High God today in prayer. Why don't you, wherever you may be, why don't you stop and why don't you acknowledge our God as being God? Reverence him in your presence. Reverence him knowing that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Oh, God, we thank you for the great, for the mighty things
God, that you have done. We thank you, dear God, for the great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, Father, that the word is a lamp unto our feet, and your word is a light unto our pathway. And God, that word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Father, have your way today. God, move in the innermost parts of us. God, cause the word of God, God, to be like fire in our bones. Cause us, God, to preach forth the unadulterated and the uncompromising word of God. And Father, we thank you for the hearers and the doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. When we began to look at the ninth chapter of John, we're going to take a look at this particular book and chapter, because we find that the more how we serve a miracle-working God, a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. When we began to read that first, beginning at that first verse of the ninth chapter of John, it reads, "And as Jesus passed, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifested in him. I must work the work of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Father, we thank you. We praise you, God, for the word of God that is about to be spoken, Father God, over your people. God, we thank you, God, for giving them an ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto them this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at the ninth chapter of John, and when we look at the few verses that we just read, we see that Jesus, he was passing by, and he saw a man that was blind from his mother's birth. Listen. Listen at the word of God as it tells us that the man, he didn't become blind because somebody hit him in the eye. He did not become blind because of the fact that he woke up one morning and he could not see. He did not lose his eyesight over a brawl or anything like that. But the word of God tells us that this man was blind from his mother's womb. He was blind at birth. When the mother began to have that baby, after the baby was removed from that mother's womb, we see that the word of God tells us that this child, this man, while she was carrying him, this baby was blind. This child was blind. This man was blind. And when I began to think about the man being blind, and he's now a man, but he was a baby. He was an infant. He was a child. He was a toddler and a child. And so, therefore, he never really got the opportunity to look at in his mother's face like the babies, they Google and they goggle and they smile at the mother. They smile at that dad. And they smile at those that are around about them because of what they visualize and the image they see. And so this man, he was never ever able to see his mother or his father, or if they had any other siblings, he never was able to see them. And he was never able to really never able to do the games that they did at that time. No, he didn't see the sun, he didn't see the moon, he didn't see the stars. Why? Because a man was blind. So when Jesus passed by and he seen the man who was blind from birth, his disciples asked him, they want to know, Master, who did sin? Did he sin or his parents? That he was born blind. Who sinned? This man or his parents? And Jesus gives the answer in that third verse because Jesus said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifested in him. So when we look at people that sometimes have an infirmity and sometimes they're sick for whatever reason, it's not always because they have sinned, not because they have committed adultery, not because of their trespasses, it's because sometimes it's the work of the Father being manifested in them. Oh, it was not that a week or two that the man was able to see. No, he's now a man. It was a long time that this man had to go through some trials and being blind and not being able to see in his life. But then it was still the work of a Father being manifested in this man. Oh, it was the work of a Father so that the others and people would know at that time in that season that Jesus was going to come into his life, that God was going to make a difference in the lives of that man and the lives of the people that was around him. So the word tells us, no, it wasn't a man. No, it wasn't his parents. But the word of God said, he said, Jesus is saying, listen, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. He says, as long as I'm in the world, as long as I'm with you in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. Have you not read that? That Jesus is the light of the world. And in Jesus, because he's the light, there is no darkness. There's no darkness in him. He's that people can see the miracle working power of him. He can see, they'll be able to see that he is the I am that I am. They'll be able to see that he is a healer. He's a deliverer. He is one that brings salvation to trillions and millions of people. He's the one that will cause miracles to happen in your life. So look what happens. In that sixth verse, it says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. That let us know that both of his eyes were blind, and he wasn't blind in one eye, but he was blind in both eyes. He could never see. But that's what the word of God let us know. And that's why we want to make it plain to you of the miraculous miracle that Jesus is able to do in our lives as well in the lives of those that are blind. So Jesus, the word tells us that he spat on the ground and made clay of a spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, this is what Jesus said. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by the interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Wasn't nothing wrong with his legs or with his hands, but it was his eyes that he could not see. And when we look at this, we got to look at it as Jesus had anointed this man with his clay. He spat on it. He anointed it with the clay. faith told him to go and to wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man heard. He wasn't deaf, so he could hear exactly what Jesus was saying. So he had a choice. Come on. Whether he was going to go to that pool of Siloam, and was he going to wash like Jesus told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when the man decided, he had a well-made up mind that he was going to go and that he was going to wash like Jesus told him. And when he did wash, he began to see. And then when we began to think about that wash that Jesus had him to wash, I mean, it was just so simple. He didn't tell him to get a surgeon. He didn't tell him to call in a specialist to examine his eyes. No, it was very simple. It was very plain. He said for him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did, obey God, he was able to see. Now, how simple can that get? How simple can that be? How simple can our healing and our deliverance be in our lives if we can only obey God, if we can only believe God, if we can only trust God, if we can only rely upon him, if all our faith and confidence is in him? All God asking us to do is to believe him, to have faith in him. For the word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I may not see it, but because of the word says it, then I'm going to believe it. Now, how am I going to believe the word if I don't study the word? The word of God says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. The word of God say whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So therefore, we're going to have to know the word. We're going to have to know Christ. We're going to have to get to know him. And if we don't get to know him, then we can't trust him. You don't really trust people that you don't know. You don't really put your confidence in people that you don't know. But when we look at John, that first chapter, look what the word of God said. The word of God says, in the beginning, Christ was from the beginning. In the beginning was the word. The word of God was from the beginning. He was the word. He says, and the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So therefore, we got to know Christ through the word, through his spirit. When we begin to read the word, it builds our faith. It gives us confidence in him to know what we ask, it's going to be done on our behalf. On the word of God says, ask and it shall be, not maybe, but ask and it shall be given. He said, to seek and ye shall find. The word says, to knock and the door shall be opened. The word says, if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. The word of God says that it shall be moved. So therefore, when we can believe God, when our heart is right with God, sometimes, just like this man, He didn't know when he got up that morning that it was going to be a day of miracles for him. But this man had the faith to believe that when God spoke to him, that being obedient to God, you can hear somebody speaking to you, but yet you don't obey them. If I see a house on fire, and I tell that person, that individual, to come out of the house. I see some smoke in your house. I see some smoke coming from your house. If that person has a choice, whether he or she is going to come out of the house because they made their own decision that they're going to stay in there. Wow. The smoke turning into a flame, into a fire. You have a choice. And this man had a choice whether he's going to stay blind or whether he's going to be obedient to God. He had a choice whether he's going to let Jesus put that place that he spit it upon and put it upon his eyes. He didn't know what Jesus was doing. I mean, he was just accepting. See, sometimes we don't know what Jesus is doing. Come on. But because he is God, we're going to let him do what he says that he wants to do. And we may not understand it. We may not know the reason why he's doing what he is doing. There are some of you this morning, some of you today, that things are going in your life and you don't understand it. You're going through trials. You're going through tribulation. You've been going through it for a while, for a long while, some of you. But yet, your faith is not in what you feel, it's not how you feel or what you see, but it should be in the true and the living God. Don't look at the situation, and we all sometimes, we look at situations at the way that they look, and they don't in the natural look very good. But our faith, our confidence, has to be in God. When we began to know him, we got to know him through the word. We got to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked the earth at this time when the man had the blessing to be able to, and the miraculous blessing, miraculous healing to be healed. He and others, they were healed by the hand of God, and he didn't do it all in the same way. Every healing didn't dictate him spitting on clay and anointing everybody with that clay. No, it was that miracle that was the originality of Christ. It was the anointing. It was the power of God. Come on, that caused a difference to be made manifested in this man's life. He went, he watched, he began to see. And then when he began to see, the neighbors, therefore, in that eighth verse, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not he that sat and begged?" Hey, what's wrong with this picture? Is not this the man that begged, that sat and begged daily? Is this not the man that could not see? Some said, "This is he," and others said, "He is like him," but he said, the man himself said, "I am he," because he knew what Christ had done for him. He knew that he never could see. He knew that he spent time begging because he didn't have a job and he couldn't see. So it was he. He let them others. They was just debating whether this man or not. He said to them, he said, "I am he." Nobody can tell your story like you can tell your story. No matter what you're going through in life, nobody can tell your story like you can tell your own story, because only you know the things that you've been through. Only you have suffered things that only you know that God has brought you through. Come on. So the man said that I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? That's one of the next things, because they know the man had been blind for a long time. Then they want to know, how was your eyes open? Look at Jesus. I mean, you need to walk with Jesus today, and you need to see what Jesus is doing. Come on. They want to know, when people see a miracle happen, and they know this man was blind, then they want to know, how was his eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Come on, come on. Look how you can witness out of your situation, out of the things that you are going through, out of the things that God have allowed to happen in your life. He said that a man named Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is? And he said, I know not. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus had made the clay and open his eyes. I want you to see how the devil would show up every time when he sees an opportunity to ridicule or to come against the work of the master. It was the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day, when the Word of God tell us that even in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that was a holy thing that they were doing. That was a righteous thing that they were doing. He said they want to know, they had taken this man to the Pharisee and so that they can start some trouble, some problem, some commotion, that they can kind of get an uproar going. They wasn't minding their business. They wasn't rejoicing. You know how people don't know how to mind their business? They don't know how to rejoice. Come on. They don't know how to be glad. They don't know how to congratulate the man and said, even to worship God Almighty, who had made the man blind to see and the lame, and the lame that he had made the walk to walk. No. All they wanted to do is to stir up strife. We got people today in the land that we live in, America 2014. Instead of making a joyful noise, instead of being glad in the great and the mighty things that God has done in other people's lives, they are trying to stir up trouble. And they knew who liked trouble. And you know who liked trouble. And you know who liked stirring up things. And you know who likes stirring a rock. But they took this man that was born blind to the Pharisee. And the Word of God said, and they brought him to the Pharisee that was aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day. It was the day because it was the day the Word of God tell us that Jesus had made clay and opened the man's eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I watch, and I do see. So he was telling them what happened. He didn't change his story because it was a real thing. It was a real story. It was a truth. Come on. He didn't have to lie. He didn't have to imagine. He didn't have to put things, add things to it. But he said exactly what happened. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. They had never met him. But I know they didn't meet him. I know they didn't know him because of the fact of their reaction. This man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? And he has opened thy eyes. And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. And he that had been blind and received sight unto them are the parents of him that had received his sight. Let's read that a little bit more in clarity, a little bit slower. It says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him. They didn't believe he was blind, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doeth he now see? And his parents asked and said, we know that this is our son, that is the truth, and that he was born blind, that is the truth. But by what means he now see, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. Of course, they already have asked him, but they didn't believe what he said. You can tell somebody truth, and somebody can tell them truth, but yet sometimes people don't believe you, what you are saying. So they wanted to verify, get verification as to what it was said. So they'll go ask somebody else. So the parents saying, oh, we know this is our son. And we know that he was born blind. But by what means he see, we don't know that. You ask him, because our son is of age. So in that 22nd verse, these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be cast, put out of the synagogue. Therefore he said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They was very sadly mistaken because they didn't know. You know, there are people in this day's time, as it was in that time, they thought that they knew something, but really they didn't know. They knew what the enemy wanted them to know and to believe, but they really did not know. Some people think that they know God, but they really do not know God. Some people think that they have a relationship with God, but they really do not have a relationship with the God Almighty. They don't know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They don't know him. They have communed with him. They haven't taken time to conversate with him. They haven't taken time to pray with him. So if you don't spend time with Christ, then you don't know him. You don't know him as a healer. You don't know him as a believer. Yes, you know that his name is Jesus, because they knew that, because they were going to put people out of the synagogue for confessing or for even serving them. So they knew that, but they didn't know him. They didn't know the power of a Savior. You can know the President of the United States' name, Barack Obama, but you don't really know the President. You never spent time with the President. Yes, you've seen him on the internet. You've seen him on the television network. You may have seen him in the name and the on the that which is on the internet and all of that. NBC, all of these plays, CNN, and all of these other things. But you really don't know him. Why? Because you haven't spent quality time with the president of the United States or the vice president. And most of all, you haven't spent time with Christ. I cannot compare our president, Barack Obama, with our Lord and Savior, because we are making you understand on knowing Jesus Christ, because he is not the King of Kings. He is not the Lord of Lords. He is not my Alpha and Omega. He is not my healer, neither is he my deliverer. But I respect him as being our president, because he is the president of the United States of America, and therefore we have to pray for him and pray for all of those that are in place, such as the president, vice president, such as the Democrats, Republicans, whether you agree with them or not, independents, they need our prayer. But if you don't spend time with God, then you can't pray like you should pray for the president, or you can't pray for the Congress, or you can't pray for the Democrats or the independents, or you can't pray for your neighbors, and you can't pray for the city that you live in. Why? Because you don't really know Christ. And you're not praying in faith. You're not praying believing that what you are praying, that God is going to answer your prayer. When you pray, you got to believe that, hey, God is going to do it. Hey, maybe you may be still hurting when you're praying. And maybe you may be still hurting after you're praying. But you got to believe that God is able to do this. Sometimes it's suddenly. Sometimes you may have to wait for the healing. But the healing is already being manifested. You got to believe it, that God is going to do what he said that he will do. Sometimes we expect, when God don't do things when we think or expect him to do it, that we stop believing God. But that's not right. That's not faith. Because the word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's time for us to stand on the word of God. It's time for us to believe God and not be like the Pharisees that try to make a case out of a great and a good thing that God has done for a man that was blind for all his life. Oh, it's like, could you imagine being in darkness all of your life? There are many of you have eyes to see, and you have seen the sun and the moon and the sky. You have been able to play baseball, football, volleyball. You're able to play golf, tennis, all of these great sports, but yet you are so blind. What are you talking about, Dr. McCoy? Why are you saying that I'm blind? You are spiritually blind. You're spiritually blind because you don't see Jesus as he is. The enemy has brought the spirit of deception upon you that you cannot believe God. That the eyes, the scales upon your eyes, that you don't believe the word of God. You can't believe him because there are a darkness upon you that will cause you not to believe the word of God. When you're walking in darkness, you are subject to stumble. But when you are walking in the light, and Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world. And when you are walking in the light of the world, then you will be able to see. You'll be able not to stumble. You'll be able to be led by the Spirit of the Most High God. We need to pray that God will open our eyes, that we will see him in his greatness, that we will be obedient to him, we'll be subjective to him, that we don't run from him like we're running from a plague. We will know that he is our help. Don't you know that the word of God says all our help, all of my help coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth, all of my help. And don't you know that the word of God, when David said in Psalms, he said that I would lift up my eyes unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. Come on. You got to know where your help is coming from. We all go through trials and tribulations in our lives. But you got to realize that there is no real help but a help that comes from God. David had to realize that, hey, because many times the man of God was on the run. Many times that he had gone through things in his life when he had to run from Saul, the king, his leader, because of jealousy, because he was trying to betray, because he was trying to kill him. We got things in our life that we need God to help us. And we need to be able to look to Christ, to not just look to the heavens, but we got to put our eyes upon him and believing that when we pray to him and when we are communing with him, when we're talking to him, we got to know, as David said, because he was praying a prayer of God sustaining power, knowing that God would sustain him, that God would keep him. That's why he said. He was saying, he made it really personal. And when we pray, we got to make it real personal. He said, I would lift up my eyes unto the hill will come my help. In other words, I need some help. Don't you need some help this morning? David said, I need some help. My help coming from the Lord. He knew he wasn't crazy. David loved God. The word of God says that David was a man after God's own heart. You may say, Dr. McCoy, David did some things that he shouldn't have done in his lifetime. Well, all of us have done some things in our life that we should not have done, even since we've been saved. Come on. But Jesus loved it. Our God Almighty loved it, David. And that's why he was able to say, my help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's an awesome word. And that last verse I would like to read of that third of Psalm 121 and the third verse says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He not sleep. He knows what you're going through. He knows the trials that you're going through in life. He knows what you're battling each and every day. He knows what's in your bank account. He knows what's in your purse. He knows how many children you have. He knows the husband that you have that you may be having some issues with, or he may be having some issues with you. But you got to look to God, who is the author and finisher of your faith. And you can't deny him. That man, do you think that he was going to deny him that had been blind for all his life and he could see? He did not deny Christ for their sake, for the Pharisees' sake, for other people's sake. Sometimes, you know, we're too proud and we are not humble enough and we don't give God the glory and we are back down in old truth because because God's word is true. We won't say what God's word says. Why? Because we're afraid. Sometimes we are yellow. Come on. Come on. And we need to ask God to have mercy like David did in his life. How he went to God. We need to go to God. We need to go to God each and every day of our lives. Like Daniel, he prayed before God 3 times a day. How many times are we praying before the Almighty God? But he did not change. The blind man that was once blind did not change his testimony that he had about Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, are you changing your testimony? Are you changing what God has done for you? Are you back down and are you changing the story of what Jesus has done in your life? Without Christ, we can't do nothing. Without Christ, we'll fail. I just got to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, that without Christ, we are nothing. Boys and girls, without Christ, we are absolutely, positively nothing. Don't ever think that we're anything without Christ. We're nothing without Jesus Christ in our lives. I don't care what position that you now hold, where you live, what you drive. Without Christ, you are nothing. But with Christ, you can do all things. Jesus healed the blind man. He made the blind man to see. Whatever your problem is, whatever your story is today, he can make you to see. If you're blind physically, he can make you see. If you're spiritually blind, he can open your eyes too. If you're sick, he can heal your body. He is a miraculous God that is able to move on your behalf. And at this time, we're getting ready to pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you how you have enriched our lives. God, how you have touched us this morning. God, how we were able to touch the hem of your garment. God, how we were able to enter in even in a greater way. How, God, that you have built our faith and stirred up our hearts. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for giving us that higher height and that deeper depth in thee. We thank you today that the word of God, your word is a lamp unto our feet, and your word is a light unto our pathway. And God, that word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Thank you for bringing us this far by faith. Thank you, Father, for opening the windows of heaven for us. Thank you, God, for pouring us out blessings. God, that there be not room enough to receive. Father, we thank you for rebuking the devourer for our faith. Father, have your way, God, even now. God, those that are under, that are listening, our voice, our listeners, our radio audience, Lord God, bless them, keep them. Lord, whether they may be going through on this day, God, we pray, God, your healing power, your deliverance power be manifested in their lives. And Father, we thank you and we praise thy name. Now, Lord, there are people that are not saved. And God, they don't know you as their personal Savior. God, you said that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised them from the dead. God, your word says that they can and they shall be saved. So, Lord, I ask thee, God, today that, God, that you will come into their heart, even if they confess their sins, and ask you to come into their heart, God, that you will make them brand new on the inside. And, God, that you will cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. And this we bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Why don't you put your hands together and bless the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for the word this morning. Now, we would like to take this opportunity to invite you to Word of Faith, Praise and Worship Center. Our services is at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning here at 5045 Soutel Drive here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. And then our services is also held on a prayer here at Word of Faith is on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 12 until 1 o'clock. Come in, whether no matter what church you may be a member of, you want to come in at your lunch break, lunchtime, spend some time in prayer. Maybe you want to take a half of your lunch or maybe 5 minutes of your lunch or 10 minutes, whatever it is. I believe that God will meet you here and that God will be here when you enter into this holy temple. For God will hear your prayer as you pray unto him. Well, this has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, pastor and founder of Word of Faith, Praise and Worship Center. We're looking forward for you to see you at the appointed time. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May you be blessed forever and ever.